All right, let's get right into it today. We're going deep on type 2 diabetes. You've given me a ton of great stuff to work with, a recent article, some research, data, the whole works.
Lots to unpack.
Definitely. So let's try to make sense of it all. Understand type 2 diabetes. What causes it, and what can you actually do about it?
It's a good time to be having this discussion.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think it's pretty relevant these days, considering how common type 2 diabetes is becoming. You know, it's almost like an epidemic.
Yeah, that's what makes this deep dive so important. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is type 2 diabetes?
Okay, so type 2 diabetes, it's a chronic condition. And basically what happens is your body doesn't use insulin effectively.
Insulin. That's the hormone that helps our cells use glucose for energy, right?
Exactly. And in type 2 diabetes, your body's still producing insulin, but the cells are like, nah, we're good. They become resistant to it.
So it's not that your body isn't making enough insulin. It's that it's not being used properly.
That's the key difference between type 1 and type 2. In type 1, your body just doesn't make insulin.
Got it. So how does this insulin resistance actually work? I'm having trouble picturing it.
Okay, so imagine your cells have these little doors, right? And insulin is the key that unlocks those doors to let glucose in.
Okay, I'm with you.
But with insulin resistance, it's like those locks are getting rusty, the key doesn't work as well, and the glucose, well, it ends up just hanging out in your bloodstream.
Ah, that makes it a lot clearer. So the glucose can't get into the cells to be used for energy.
Right. And over time, all that extra sugar in your blood can start causing problems. It damages your blood vessels and your nerves, leading to all sorts of complications.
Like what? What kind of complications?
Well, we'll get into the specifics a little later. But just to give you an idea, we're talking about things like heart disease, stroke, kidney problems, even vision loss.
That sounds pretty serious.
It is serious. And what's even more concerning is that the number of people with type 2 diabetes is skyrocketing globally. It's being driven by all sorts of things. Lifestyle changes, aging populations, you name it.
The article mentioned something from the World Health Organization about this.
Yeah, they reported a significant increase in cases over the last few decades. And they're projecting that this trend's only going to continue.
So understanding type 2 diabetes isn't just about personal health. It's a global issue.
Exactly. And what makes it even trickier is that you can have it for years without any symptoms.
So you might not even know you have it until it's too late.
It's possible. That's why early detection and management are so, so crucial.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about causes. What actually leads to type 2 diabetes in the first place? Is it just eating too much sugar?
Well, a sugary diet definitely doesn't help. But it's more complicated than that. The root cause is insulin resistance. And that can be caused by a whole bunch of factors.
So it's not as simple as just cutting out sugar.
Not quite. It's an interplay of genetics, environment, lifestyle choices. It's complex.
Genetics. So family history plays a role.
Absolutely. Research has shown that if you have a parent or a sibling with type 2 diabetes, your risk almost doubles.
Wow. So if it runs in your family, you might be more susceptible.
Exactly. But it's not just about your genes. Environmental and lifestyle factors matter too. Think about how our bodies are designed.
Okay, how are they designed?
Well, we're designed to store energy as fat, right? For when food is scarce.
Makes sense from an evolutionary perspective.
Right, but the thing is, nowadays, most of us have way more food than we need, and we're way less active.
So our bodies are basically stuck in storage mode. And it's messing with our insulin.
You got it. And it's not just about how much fat we store, it's about where we store it. This visceral fat, the kind that surrounds your organs, that's the real troublemaker.
What's so bad about visceral fat?
It releases inflammatory substances that mess with insulin signaling. Plus, chronic inflammation from things like stress and a poor diet also plays a role. It's like this vicious cycle.
Okay, so that explains the insulin resistance part.
Mm-hmm.
But where does the pancreas fit into all of this? It's the organ that produces insulin, right?
Right, and it's actually working overtime trying to compensate for the insulin resistance. It pumps out more and more insulin to try to keep your blood sugar in check.
And that works for a while.
At first, yeah. But eventually the pancreas gets exhausted. It just can't keep up with the demand. And that's when blood sugar levels start to rise and you develop type 2 diabetes.
So it's a gradual process.
It can be, yeah. And that's why it's so important to catch it early. So knowing that it's this mix of factors, what are some red flags we should be looking out for? What are the biggest risk factors? Well, we talked about genetics, but some big ones you have control over are things like being overweight or obese.
That's a risk factor.
Huge one, yeah. The CDC says that something like 90% of people with type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese.
Wow. That's a pretty big number.
And then there's lack of physical activity. You know, if you're not moving your body regularly, your cells don't use insulin as efficiently.
So even just going for a walk every day could make a difference.
It all adds up. The American Diabetes Association recommends at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise each week. Things like brisk walking, swimming, cycling, that sort of thing.
That seems doable. So let's say someone's listening to this and they're thinking, okay, my family has a history of diabetes, and I haven't exactly been hitting the gym lately. What should they do?
The first step is awareness, right? Just knowing about these risk factors is huge. Then you can start taking steps to mitigate them.
So awareness is key. Well, we mentioned earlier that type 2 diabetes can be pretty sneaky. What about symptoms? Are there any early warning signs people might be missing?
Absolutely. And a lot of those early signs can be subtle. You know, you might not even realize they're connected to diabetes.
Like what? Give me an example.
Increased thirst and frequent urination are really common. Your body's basically trying to flush out that excess glucose through your urine.
So it's not just that they're not drinking enough water, it's a sign something else is going on.
Exactly. And then you have increased hunger. You know, even after eating a meal, you still feel hungry all the time.
It's a symptom.
It can be. Because your body's not using the glucose from your food efficiently, it's like it's constantly looking for more fuel.
Okay, that makes sense. What other subtle signs should we be on the lookout for?
Well, there's unexplained fatigue. If you're tired all the time, even if you're getting enough sleep, it could be your body struggling to use glucose for energy.
I feel like everyone's tired these days.
True. But if it's persistent and you can't explain it, it's worth mentioning to your doctor. Oh, and blurred vision can also be an early symptom.
Blurred vision. How is that connected?
Fluctuations in blood sugar levels can actually affect the lenses in your eyes, making it harder to focus.
So if you're noticing any of these things, it's definitely worth getting checked out by a doctor.
Absolutely. Early detection is key. The sooner you know what you're dealing with, the sooner you can start managing it.
That brings us to a more serious question. What happens if type 2 diabetes goes unmanaged? What are the real risks we're talking about here?
Well, the risks are, they're pretty significant. If you don't manage type 2 diabetes, it can lead to a whole cascade of complications. Some of them can be life-threatening.
Okay, like what? Can you give us some examples?
One of the biggest ones is cardiovascular disease. We're talking about heart attacks, strokes, that sort of thing.
And that's because high blood sugar damages blood vessels.
Right, it makes them more prone to hardening and narrowing. That's called atherosclerosis, and it increases your risk for all sorts of cardiovascular problems.
So it's not just about managing your diabetes, it's about protecting your heart health too.
Exactly. And then there's nerve damage, also known as neuropathy. High blood sugar can damage the nerves throughout your body.
And that can cause what?
Oh, a whole range of symptoms: tingling, numbness, pain. It often starts in the feet.
So if you're getting those pins and needles sensations in your feet, it might not just be from uncomfortable shoes.
It might be a sign of something more serious, yeah. And in severe cases, neuropathy can actually lead to foot ulcers and even amputations. It can have a huge impact on your quality of life.
That's scary.
It is. And there are other long-term complications too, things like kidney damage, eye problems, even an increased risk of dementia.
So managing type 2 diabetes isn't just about avoiding discomfort, it's about protecting your overall health and well-being for the long haul.
That's the bottom line. And the good news is there's a lot we can do to take control and minimize those risks.
Okay, so what can people do to manage it? Are they doomed if they get diagnosed?
Not at all. Type 2 diabetes is absolutely manageable. The key is to be proactive and to work with your doctor to come up with a plan that works for you.
So it's a team effort.
Absolutely. Your doctor's there to guide you, but ultimately, you're in charge of managing your condition day to day. And that involves a few different things.
Like what? What are the key components of managing type 2 diabetes?
The foundation is building a healthy lifestyle. That means eating a balanced diet, getting regular physical activity, and if you need to, losing weight.
So it's about making those lifestyle changes.
That's a big part of it, yeah. And for some people, medication might also be necessary.
When would medication come into play?
Well, if lifestyle changes alone aren't enough to keep your blood sugar under control, your doctor might recommend medication. There are different types of oral medications, and then there's insulin therapy as well.
So there are options.
There are, and your doctor will work with you to figure out what's best for you. It's all about finding a personalized approach.
So it's a journey, not a quick fix.
Exactly. And it's a journey you don't have to take alone. There's a lot of support out there.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about what type 2 diabetes is, what causes it, and what some of the risks are. We've even touched on how to manage it.
We've laid a good foundation.
We have. But there's still so much more to explore, especially when it comes to specific strategies for managing type 2 diabetes effectively. What's coming up next in our deep dive?
Well, I think we need to dive deeper into the whole diet and exercise thing. And we should also talk about the emotional side of things, how a diagnosis can impact people psychologically.
Yeah, we definitely need to address that. It's not just a physical condition.
Exactly. It affects every aspect of your life. But the good news is there are ways to cope and to thrive.
All right, I'm ready to get into all of that. Let's move on to the next part of our deep dive.
It really can have a huge impact on your life. I remember this one case, a woman in her 60s. She'd had unmanaged diabetes for years.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she developed this really bad foot ulcer. It just wouldn't heal.
Oh, wow.
And ultimately, it led to amputation. It's a tough reminder of why understanding what you eat is so important.
Yeah, it really hits home when you hear stories like that. It makes you realize that managing this is serious business.
Absolutely. It's about taking those steps to protect yourself.
Okay, so let's talk about those steps. A lot of people listening are probably thinking, all right, I get it, healthy eating. But what does that actually look like for someone with type 2 diabetes? What are we talking about here?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And it's where we can get a little more specific. Because it's not just about cutting out sugar completely. It's about understanding how different foods affect your blood sugar and making choices that work for you.
So can we zoom in on diet for a minute? What are the specifics that really matter when it comes to managing blood sugar?
One of the biggest things is understanding this concept of carbohydrate quality, because not all carbs are created equal.
Okay, I think I've heard that before, but break it down for me. What's the difference?
So you've got your simple carbohydrates, think sugary drinks, processed foods, things like that. Yep. They get absorbed into your bloodstream really quickly.
And that's bad.
Well, it causes these rapid spikes in blood sugar, which is what we want to avoid.
Got it. So those are the ones to limit.
Exactly. Then you have complex carbs. They're found in things like whole grains, legumes, fruits, vegetables.
Okay, so more of the good stuff.
Right. And they're digested much more slowly, so they lead to a more gradual rise in blood sugar, which is a lot easier for your body to handle.
And they have fiber, right?
Exactly. Fiber is your best friend when it comes to managing blood sugar. Think of it like a sponge. It soaks up the sugar and slows down how fast it gets into your bloodstream.
Ah, so it prevents those crazy spikes and crashes in blood sugar.
Exactly, which can help you avoid those energy dips and sugar cravings.
So it's not about ditching carbs altogether. It's about choosing the right ones and making sure you're getting enough fiber.
You got it. And then we've got the other players in this game, protein and fat.
All right, protein seems pretty straightforward. Build muscle, right?
Yeah, it's crucial for that.
Mm-hmm,
helps you maintain muscle mass. But it also helps you feel full and satisfied after you eat.
So less likely to overeat.
Right, which indirectly helps with blood sugar control.
Got it. So what about healthy fats? Avocados, nuts, olive oil, that kind of thing?
Yes, those are key for overall health. Heart health, brain health, the works. And they can actually improve your body's sensitivity to insulin.
Wait, so eating fat can help your body use insulin better?
You heard that right. It might seem counterintuitive, but healthy fats can actually help balance blood sugar levels.
Huh. Interesting. So we've covered good carbs, lean protein, healthy fats. What about portion sizes? Where does that fit in?
Oh, portion control is huge. Even when you're eating healthy foods, you know, it's easy to overdo it.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of that.
We all are. But things like using measuring cups, reading food labels, actually paying attention to serving sizes, it all makes a difference.
So it's not just what you eat, but how much you eat.
Exactly. It's all about balance. And paying attention to when you eat is important, too. Having regular meal times can really help regulate your blood sugar throughout the day.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about diet. Let's move on to exercise. You mentioned earlier that it can help, but can we unpack that a little bit? How do different types of exercise benefit someone with type 2 diabetes?
Absolutely. Exercise is like a magic bullet when it comes to managing this condition.
Oh, yeah. In what way?
Well, it helps your body use insulin better. It lowers your blood sugar levels. It's great for your heart health. And it can help you lose weight if you need to.
Okay, so it's a win-win all around.
Yeah.
But are certain types of exercise better than others?
That's a good question. So you've got aerobic exercise. Think brisk walking, jogging, swimming, cycling, things like that.
Gets your heart rate up.
Yeah. And it's fantastic for heart health. Helps your muscles use glucose for energy.
So how much should you aim for?
At least 30 minutes on most days of the week is a good starting point. Then you have strength training.
Lifting weights.
Yep. Lifting weights or doing bodyweight exercises. And this is important because it builds muscle. And this muscle actually increases your insulin sensitivity.
Hold on. So building muscle can actually help your body use insulin better.
You got it. Muscle is like a sponge for glucose. The more muscle you have, the more effectively your body can use it.
Wow, I never knew that. So how often should you be doing strength training?
Aim for 2 or 3 times a week. Make sure you're working all the major muscle groups, and don't forget about flexibility and balance exercises.
Like yoga or Tai Chi?
Exactly. They can help improve your overall physical function, reduce stress, and even prevent falls, which is important as we get older.
So finding a mix of activities you enjoy and can stick with is key.
That's the key to making it a sustainable part of your life. It's not about punishing yourself. It's about finding things you enjoy that keep you moving.
Okay, we've covered diet, exercise. What about monitoring blood sugar levels? Why is that so important? It seems like a lot of extra work.
I know it can seem like a hassle, but monitoring is crucial. It really helps you understand how your body responds to different things. Foods, activity, even stress.
So what does it actually involve?
Most people with type 2 diabetes use a blood glucose meter. It's a little device that you use to check your blood sugar at home.
You prick your finger, get a reading.
Yeah.
Then what? What do you do with that information?
You keep a log of your readings and you share it with your doctor. It helps them see what's going on and make adjustments to your treatment plan if needed.
So it's about working with your doctor, not just showing up for appointments and hoping for the best.
Exactly. It's about becoming an active participant in your own care.
Okay, so we've covered a lot about how to manage type 2 diabetes once you've been diagnosed. But what if someone's listening and they're just starting to realize that they might have some of the symptoms we talked about? What should they DO if they suspect they might have it?
The most important thing is to talk to your doctor. Don't wait for symptoms to get worse. Be proactive.
So go in for a checkup.
Exactly. And if you have risk factors like a family history of diabetes, or if you're overweight, or if you live a pretty sedentary lifestyle, tell your doctor.
And they can run some tests.
There's a simple blood test called the hemoglobin A1C test. It tells you your average blood sugar level over the past few months.
So it can actually detect diabetes even if you don't have any obvious symptoms.
Exactly. Early detection is so important.
Okay, so early detection is key. But for those who have already gotten a diagnosis, what's the message of hope? What can you tell them about living with this condition?
You know, I really want to emphasize that a type 2 diabetes diagnosis is not a life sentence. It's a wake-up call. It's a chance to take control of your health and make some positive changes.
But it's a turning point.
Exactly. With the right tools and support, you can absolutely live a long, healthy, and fulfilling life. It's about changing your mindset, seeing this diagnosis as an opportunity for growth, not a defeat.
So it's not just about managing a disease. It's about living your best life.
You said it. And it's about embracing a healthier lifestyle, becoming an active participant in your own care, and working with your healthcare team to come up with a plan that really works for you.
And remembering that you're not alone in this journey.
Exactly. There are so many resources available to help you along the way. Don't be afraid to reach out to your doctor, a diabetes educator, a support group, a registered dietitian. There are people who understand what you're going through and can offer guidance and support.
We've talked about so much. Causes and symptoms, how to manage type 2 diabetes, even the emotional side of things.
It's been a pretty deep dive, that's for sure. Hopefully it's been helpful for people.
I think so. Before we wrap things up, though, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier. Early diagnosis. Why is it so important to catch type 2 diabetes early?
It's all about getting ahead of the curve. You know, catching it before those serious complications we talked about have a chance to develop.
So less about treating symptoms and more about preventing long-term damage.
Exactly. The longer your blood sugar's high, the more damage is being done to your blood vessels, nerves, organs, everything.
Makes sense. So let's say someone's listening and they think, uh-oh, maybe I should get checked out. What's the first step? What should they do?
Talk to their doctor. Simple as that. Don't wait for symptoms to show up. Be proactive.
So if you're worried, schedule a checkup.
Exactly. And especially if you've got those risk factors we talked about, family history, being overweight, not getting enough exercise. Bring it up with your doctor.
And they can do some tests.
There's a blood test, hemoglobin A1C. It gives you a picture of your average blood sugar levels over time.
And it can detect diabetes even if you don't have any symptoms yet.
That's right. Which is why it's so valuable. It's like a heads up.
Okay, early detection is key. But what about for the people who've already been diagnosed? What's the message of hope for them? What can they take away from all of this?
I think the biggest thing is to remember that this isn't the end of the world. Getting diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, it's not a life sentence.
It's not.
It's more like a wake-up call. It's a chance to really take control of your health and make some positive changes. With the right tools and support, you can live a long, healthy, and fulfilling life. It's absolutely possible.
So it's about shifting your perspective, seeing this diagnosis as an opportunity.
Exactly. It's about embracing a healthier lifestyle, taking charge of your care, and working with your healthcare team to find a plan that works for you.
You're not in this alone.
Not at all. There are so many resources available to help. Your doctor, a diabetes educator, support groups, registered dietitians.
A whole community of people who get it.
Yep. And they can offer support and guidance every step of the way.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I've learned so much about type 2 diabetes today.
Me too. It's amazing how much research is out there.
And hopefully our listeners are feeling more knowledgeable and empowered too.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, right? The more you understand about this condition, the better equipped you'll be to manage it.
And remember, even small changes can make a big difference. Taking a walk every day, making healthier food choices, finding ways to manage stress. Every little bit counts.
I agree. And be kind to yourself along the way. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Celebrate your successes and learn from your setbacks.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into understanding type 2 diabetes. We hope you found it helpful. And until next time, take care.